You're listening to an audio resource of Boyce College, undergraduate school of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
All right, well, it's great to see everybody tonight. And man, it's really an honor to be here. I love Boyce College. And you can throw that picture back up. That's a picture of my family there. I'm married to my wife, Amanda, there. We've got three children. Caleb, our oldest, is six. Isaac is four, and Grace is about to be two. And we live down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And anytime I show a picture of my family, I always show beach shots. It's a selfish way to get people to come down and do missions in South Florida. And so we're having a great time. We love getting to do what we get to do. It really is an honor to be here tonight. When I came to Boyce College as a student in the fall of 2000, we were really excited because that year, Boyce College was going to set record numbers in their full-time student enrollment. And that year, we broke a barrier. We broke the 200 mark, and it was a huge, monumental year for the school. Our dorm meetings were held in the patio room with about 45 chairs circled up. And so it's really exciting to see how far Boyce College has come in such a short amount of time. And I really do obviously attribute it to some great leaders that God has put in place, but ultimately to the Lord Jesus and what he's doing and the way that he's raising up leaders. And I can't help but almost tear up thinking about the incredible firepower in this room for the gospel. And the way that this room has such an incredible opportunity to penetrate the lostness in our community and in our world. And so I'm really, really grateful for you. My wife and I, we met here on this campus. My wife was a student at the University of Louisville, came to know Christ while she was in a sorority there, and started taking a couple classes here at Boyce College. And we had Baptist history together with Russ Moore. And I like to tell people the rest is Baptist history. From there, we met, we dated, we got married, and we had a great time. As soon as I graduated, I came on staff as the resident director, and we didn't really know what we were doing. There was no resident director program. We kind of had a few, we called them RLs back then, but we had a few RAs, and we got this thing rolling, and we started hall ball. And it was a lot of fun. We also, that year, came up with a mascot. We were the Boyce Bulldogs. And my wife and I thought, well, we need to get Boyce a bulldog. And so we searched all over, and we actually found a bulldog. We had Achilles, the Boyce College mascot, living with us. And I'll never forget the very first Boyce College basketball game down here in the rec center. We were down there playing, and Achilles, the dog, was so excited about the game that during halftime, as we're walking on the court, he poops all over the floor. And we weren't going to win any games, but by golly, we were going to poop on the floor. So it was incredible. We had some incredible memories here, and God just did some incredible things in our lives, and we'll never forget the season that we had here, and we're so grateful for it. Well, I bring you greetings from Jimmy Scroggins, a former dean. He's my pastor, one of my very best friends, and we're trying to do our very best to reach people in South Florida. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our city, and then I want to jump into our Bible study for tonight. Our city, we live in Palm Beach County, which is made up of about 1.4 million people. In Palm Beach County, on the very best Easter Sunday, which is like the Super Bowl in church world, on the best Easter Sunday, there are about maybe 200,000 people that will go to church. That includes the Jews and the Catholics as well. And so in a city of 1.4 million, we've got about 1.2 million who don't claim a church anywhere. So even if we started 1,000 churches today that all ran 1,000, we still wouldn't reach them all. And so we're trying to start 100 churches. And we've started a church planting residency program. This summer, we've got several college students that are going to come down and spend about 8 weeks with us learning how to plant churches in South Florida. If that's something you're interested in, I'd love to talk with you about that. Or you can just shoot me an email at aaronflip@gmail.com. And so I'd love to get some information from you about that. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into the Bible, because that's really the most important thing we can talk about tonight. Get your Bibles out, and let's turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. As we're jumping into this text, let me just set the stage and give you a little bit of background. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus has already lived, died,
he was buried, and he just rose from the dead. And all the disciples are trying to figure out what to make of this, because they just spent the last 3 years following this itinerant preacher, this homeless man, and now the man that they were following is gone. And he's raised from the dead, but they don't know it yet. And so that's where we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 13. And here's what it says. That very day, which is, by the way, Resurrection Day, it's the very first Easter, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. Now, what were the things that had just happened? Think about it. Okay, the resurrection, well, they didn't know about that yet, but the death, the crucifixion, the miracles that they had just witnessed. I mean, all of these things that had just happened. Okay, so there was a buzz of activity. They're talking about all these things that had just happened. And then, look at verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, we're not sure why they couldn't recognize Jesus. I'm not sure if maybe Jesus, you know, trimmed down the beard or he was wearing a hat. I don't know why they couldn't recognize him, but for some reason, they had no idea that Jesus is right there walking with them. So picture this. Here are the disciples walking, having a conversation about all the things that had just happened in their city, about the crucifixion, about the kangaroo court that just took place, about how Jesus was crucified. And then Jesus is right there walking with them, and they don't even know it. And then, look at verse 17. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Why are they sad? Well, the operation failed. I mean, everything that they had just invested in for the last 3 years was over. Jesus is dead. As far as they know, Jesus is dead. The operation failed. Their investment was defunct. Everything failed. They're sad. And so Jesus walks up on them and he says, "Why are you sad?" And verse 18 is so hilarious. Then one of them named Cleopas, which I think that's short for like Cletus, because this guy just doesn't have a clue. He walks up and he answered him. He says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" In other words, "Hey, visitor, are you a moron? Do you not know the things that have taken place here in the last few days? I mean, have you not heard about the miracles? Have you not heard about how he broke the bread and fed the 5,000? Have you not heard about how he took the lame man and he made him walk? Have you not heard about the fig tree and he cursed it? And have you not heard about the crucifixion? Where have you been? Have you not seen all these things that have taken place? Where, you must not be from around here. You're from somewhere else, because if you'd have been from here, you would know what we're talking about. Everybody's talking about this. This is big news. We're all talking about this." Verse 19. And then Jesus, I love this. And then